You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast right now and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk. Man, a lot has happened since the last time we were together, y'all. I apologize about my absence, man. I actually was doing a little bit of traveling, man. I actually went out in the country a few weeks ago to Punta Cana. To the Dominican Republic, man. It was an outstanding experience, man. I had a great time with friends out there, man, just kicking it and enjoying the vibe, man. It was different weather, obviously. It was a lot warmer than it is over here in the States right now, but the water was beautiful. The skies were great, man. It was an outstanding atmosphere, and I had an outstanding time. So if you're looking for a vacation spot, man, I recommend Punta Cana. That was my first time there. Again, it was a great, great experience for me, and looking forward to my next destination, wherever that may be, to go out of the country. And I also, after that, man, I actually went to a jazz concert, y'all. And it's funny because I'm not really into jazz like that. But over the years, my mom has actually have been putting me on with this artist called Brian Culberson. Some of you are jazz fans may know who that is. We actually went to his concert and had a great time, man. He put on an outstanding performance, and man, I saw how they really get down in person with jazz. So again, man, if you're a jazz fan, if you never heard of Brian Culberson, man, check him out. Pull him up on Apple Music. You can get access to all his albums, man. It was a fun time. But man, I'm glad to be back, thankful and grateful to be able to sit here and give you guys some good sports talk, man. Like I said before, man, just glad to be able to discuss, man, what's happened. So, man, I'm going to backtrack a little bit with the outline today, man, and we're going and talking about a few things. But first and foremost, man, I just wanted to start off by talking about college football, man. We had the latest college football playoff rankings that were just released. So let's talk about that. And I, as always, go over the top 10. So we'll discuss the top 10. We'll talk about the biggest wins. We'll talk about this upcoming rivalry week. And then we'll talk about my biggest takeaways from what we have in the top 10 so far. So let's run down the top 10 right now as they stand. So we got Georgia coming in at number one. No surprise there. Ohio State actually jumped Alabama and moved up to number two. Alabama was pushed down to number three. Cincinnati, number four. So they break into the top four. Michigan is number five. Notre Dame is six. Oklahoma State is seven. Baylor is eight. And Ole Miss is nine. And Oklahoma is number 10. Looking at, last week's biggest wins, Ohio State actually blew out number 7 Michigan State 56-7. And man, CJ Stroud and those guys, they put on a dominating performance. Chris Olave, a leading receiver for the Buckeyes, he actually broke a record. So he's like all time. He's an all time leader in touchdown receptions in Ohio State history. Alabama was able to beat number 21 Arkansas in a blowout. In a shootout, 42-35, to win the SEC West and punch their ticket to Atlanta for a battle against Georgia in the SEC championship game. And then we also had a huge upset, people. That's right, number 3. Oregon was upset. They were blown out. Not just upset. They were blown out 38-7 to number 23 Utah, man. So their college football playoff hopes have just been ended after that big, big loss to Utah. So that's what helped Cincinnati actually move up into the number 4 spot. So let's talk about the upcoming rivalry week matchups, and then I'll talk about my biggest takeaways. Let's go into the biggest takeaways first, and then we'll talk rivalry week matchup. So, Ohio State and Michigan, this game coming up, this is the biggest game that we've seen in this rivalry in a long time. Probably the biggest game that I've seen that I can remember. So I think that the loser of this game, they actually have no chance to get into the college football playoffs. So I think that this is the Big Ten's chance right here to get somebody in the top four. And that's all what happens in this game. It just depends on the result of this football game. And I think we're going to get a really good game. Obviously, Coach Harbaugh has been plagued over the years with Ohio State. Just cannot beat this team. So with this being one of Michigan State's best team that they've had in quite a while, can they pull it off at home in Ann Arbor over a number two Ohio State football team that is just as hot as anybody in college football right now? With since their loss to Oregon, they've been getting better and better each week. C.J. Stroud has been elevating his game each and every week. And so people are arguing, obviously, that they should have been number two. And we see them there now after they, have a quality and convincing win against a Michigan State team this past weekend. So, that's my take on that. Let's look at Alabama. Alabama, despite being dropped to number three, they control their own destiny. If they went out there and, there's been a lot of talk about, Alabama hasn't been as dominant as they've been over the years. And they've given up a lot of points. Okay, of course, but people, and it's funny that people do this because they forget to mention the fact that this team is a lot younger than normal. They don't have the guys that they used to have. We've lost a lot of people to the NFL, and that's what happens at Alabama. You reload, so you're talking about a defense that's compiled of freshmen, sophomores. You got a couple of upperclassmen here and there, but overall, the defense is younger. Now, the offense is playing lights out. They've been putting up the points. Bryce Young is looking, as explosive as ever. Let's not talk about the game that he just had against Arkansas, throwing for 561 yards and five touchdowns, breaking an SEC quarterback record and an Alabama quarterback record. Now number one in Alabama quarterback history. I mean, Alabama's offense has been doing everything. They have been doing everything and more and exceeding probably some people's expectations. I mean, Jamison Williams, wide receiver who's transferred from Ohio State, man, has become that big, their true number one wide receiver. He's been that deep threat. He can kill you in many different ways. And I think John Metchie, being there to compliment him has been really, really beneficial. You got Latu and Billingsley, both of the tight ends. You got Brian Robinson at the running back position. And obviously, they're decimated at running back right now with Roydell Williams, who was hurt. But you got the emergence of Trey Sanders, who's gotten to that RB2 role. So, people, obviously they're overreacting. Yes, Alabama has had bad miscues on the defensive end, but I definitely think that they, in a down year, for what many people calling this a down year, and if you're calling this a down year, they're still Alabama in a down year is still in the college football playoff right now. They're still top three in the nation right now in a down year. People are not realizing that. So let's pump the brakes. Again, they've been doing what they needed to do and finding ways to win football games. And that's the good thing about it. Every game is not going to look pretty. Every game is not going to be a 30 to 40 point blowout like they're used to seeing Alabama do. They need games like this. They needed that loss that they took to Texas A&M, to help wake them up. They need those close, hard-fought games, because when you get into playoff situations, a national championship situation, you can look back and say, hey, look, we've been here before. We've been in this situation. We can overcome this obstacle. So people, pump the brakes on Alabama. We'll wait and see them. We'll talk more about, conference championship games next week, obviously. Again, pump the brakes on them. Last but not least, man, if Oklahoma State wins out, I think Cincinnati has no chance to get into the college football playoff. Reason being is Oklahoma State, they could potentially add two top 10 wins to their resume if they indeed knock off number 10, Oklahoma this upcoming weekend, and then potentially play Baylor in the Big 12 championship. And at that point, Baylor would be a top 10 team. So there's a lot that can happen, right, you know, from now until a conference championship play. So a lot of football left to be played. But those are my biggest takeaways. And let's talk about, you know, the biggest rivalry matchups. Again, I've already touched on them, but I just want to tell you who's favored in these games. And I'll give you my picks for each one of these games. So first, we got number 2, Ohio State, at number 5, Michigan. So Ohio State actually opens this game as an 8-point favorite in the game on the road. So just looking at what Ohio State's been able to do and how well C.J. Stroud has been playing, how well they've been playing on the defensive side of the football. They've been able to run the football really well as well. I think that Ohio State really is just peaked. Now, mind you, I would love if Michigan knocked off Ohio State, but I'm going to go with Ohio State in the football game. I just don't know if Jim Harbaugh can get over this hump. This is the best team that Michigan's had in a long time. I'm just going to say that, me personally, I have to believe it when I see it. You know, if Michigan knocks them off, then great. But I'm not going to pick them to win the game. I'm going with Ohio State to win this football game. Looking at number 3, Alabama going on the road to an unranked Auburn to play in the Iron Bowl. Bama is a 19.5 point favorite in this football game. Obviously, looking at the Iron Bowl over the years, you know, Nick Saban has not won in Auburn in the last few years. And we've seen how much this rivalry game, how much this Iron Bowl means to the state of Alabama. And not a lot of people truly know what that means if you don't have your hand in this rivalry, how much is riding on this game when you're talking about bragging rights in the state of Alabama, a state that doesn't have an NFL team. These are the NFL teams in the state of Alabama. So this game is always huge, no matter what the other opponent's record is in this game. But of course, I'm going with my Tide, man, to go into Auburn, man, and handle business against the Auburn Tigers, and look forward to a matchup against Georgia in the SEC championship game. I think that Bryce Young and that offense is just going to be too much for Auburn's secondary. And I just think that, you know, obviously the defense is going to have to play a lot better than what they've been playing. And you got another big quarterback that you're going up against in T.J. Finley, a guy who does have talent. You know, like I say, he's a big guy, like a Cam Newton type guy. You know, Cam obviously is more talented, but I'm talking about the body size. I mean, he can throw the football, so they're going to have to be sound on the defensive end and to be able to put together a complete game. And I think that, you know, Alabama has the talent. They just got to go in there, stay focused, and do their thing, handle business, and get out of there. Then we got number 10, Oklahoma, going on the road to face number 7, Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State is a 4-point favorite in this game. I think that Oklahoma State is going to win this football game. I said this weeks ago, man. I thought that Oklahoma was going to get 2 losses on their schedule. I said that one of those losses was going to be Baylor. They've lost to Baylor. And I said that second loss was going to be to Oklahoma State, which I think that we're going to see this upcoming weekend, man, when they go into Oklahoma State. And I think that, you know, Oklahoma State, with having that home field advantage in the way that Oklahoma has struggled defensively. You know, they've given up some points. They played a lot of close games this year to teams that they shouldn't have been in dogfights with, one being Kansas, Tulane, just teams like that, man, that they should have put away. Texas was blowing them out pretty badly before Caleb Williams got put in. But, you know, I just think that Oklahoma State is going to be too much. I think it'll be a good game, but I just think in the end, I think Oklahoma State pulls away and they get this win and hand Oklahoma their second loss. And then, this doesn't have a whole lot of playoff implications at all, but you got number 9, Ole Miss, going to Mississippi State for the Egg Bowl. And you got Mississippi State's opening up a 1.5-point favorite in this game. I'm going Ole Miss. I think Lane will have the guys focused, and I think that they can go down into Mississippi State. and win this football game. And that also helps, you know, teams, team like Alabama look good, because they would have had, you know, with the victory, with the convincing win that they had over Ole Miss, the fact that they're within the top 10 right now, that looks good. So if they can finish in that top 10, that'll look really good for Alabama. So that was college football talk, man. Let's talk baseball, man. How about the Atlanta Braves, y'all? How about the Atlanta Braves, the hometown team, man, getting it done, winning the World Series, man, for the first time since 1995. Man, I was 3 years old the last time they won, man. It's been 26 years. But the Atlanta Braves are World Series champions, man. They defeated the Houston Astros 7-0 in Game 6, and they closed that series out 4-2. And, man, what better way to do it? Well, we wanted it to be done in Atlanta. We wanted, you know, them to close that thing out. They won 2 in a row. We were like, you know what? Hey, this is it. It was 3-1, and Houston snuck one in Atlanta, so it forced the Braves to have to go close it out in Houston. But what better way to do it than a blowout, a shutout, I should say, in Houston, man. So let's just recap this game, man. So the top of the third, man, Jorge Soler actually rocked a 3-run home run and put the Braves up 3-0. At the top of the fifth, Dansby Swanson actually rocked a 2-run home run to put the Braves up 5-0. Then again in the top of the fifth, Freddie Freeman doubles, Soler scores, and then the Braves go up 6-0. At the top of the seventh, Freddie Freeman again coming through, cashing in. He hits a home run to put the Braves up 7-0 and put the icing on the cake. The rest was history, and the Braves were named the World Series champions, man. Let's talk about the World Series MVP, man, Jorge Soler. He was the third player to win World Series MVP after starting the season with another team. Soler hit 3 home runs in the World Series, so that actually made him tied for the most by a Braves player in franchise history. So he joins Hank Aaron, Lonnie Smith, and Ryan Colesko as the only Braves to have 3 home runs in the World Series, man. What a great, what great company to be a part of if you're Jorge Soler. And I was especially happy for him because, you know, Jorge Soler actually won a World Series with my Chicago Cubs, man. That's my number one team, the Chicago Cubs, and the Braves are the second team. But, man, Jorge actually won one with my Cubs, and then to come to Atlanta and be, you know, an X factor, an important piece to this team, to be able to help, you know, seal the deal and win this thing. And people, look, they did this thing without Ronald Acuna, man, who was out for the year after, you know, being injured. The resiliency of the Braves, man, and to be able to do this, man, this is huge. It's huge for the city. I'm happy for them. I'm proud of them. And I was definitely rooting for them hard, man, to be able to get the job done. And they did. And, you know, people around the city, it's still buzzing, you know, down here. People feel as though, you know, obviously that curse has been broken when it comes to the championships to the city. Well, Atlanta United won, but we don't really people don't really pay attention like that to the soccer. They don't really count that. They want to focus on the main, you know, the main squads, you know, the Hawks, the Falcons, the Braves. I'm not a Falcons fan at all, but, you know, I rock with the Hawks, but, you know, and the Braves. So, again, man, hats out to the Braves for getting the job done. And hey, if y'all happen to win the World Series again, can y'all make that parade a lot? Not a lot. Can you make it a little longer? Because I heard people complaining, man, that the parade was really short. And I saw a video. They had the bus. It was like it was pretty much speeding through, speeding down the street through the crowd of people. But again, man, I think that, you know, the Braves, they'll be right back in the mix again next year, man, to be able to try to repeat. You know, you get Ronald Acuna back, and I know a lot of people are talking about Freddie Freeman, you know, with this coming up in free agency. But I think that the Braves will, you know, find a way to keep Freddie. You got to keep Freddie. And I think that, you know, they'll get a deal done and be able to move forward. And the Braves are, you know, they can only get better from here. So let's move on, man. Let's talk NBA talk right now. So let's talk about who the best team in the NBA is right now and what team should everyone keep their eyes on. Who should everyone not sleep on in the NBA right now. So, best team in the NBA right now, Golden State Warriors, man. They're 15-2, number one in the West and in the NBA. They're first in points per game, averaging 115 a game. They're first in point differential at plus 13.2. Fourth in field goal percentage at 46.9. Third in defense. Second in rebounds at 48 per game. And Steph Curry is averaging 28 per game, which is second in the NBA and averaging 6 assists a game. The Warriors are doing all of this, man, without Klay and without James Wiseman. Like, once those guys return, man, the league is in trouble. Like, it's the league is in trouble, especially in the West. The West is in trouble. The league, everybody's in trouble when Klay Thompson and James Wiseman comes back. Like, the Warriors can very well win it all this year, y'all. Like, this is what we're seeing from this team. When everybody thought that, you know, they wouldn't come out as strong as they did, I felt like, you know, we all thought that the Warriors, you know, they would come back. They would compete. But to be able to do it like this without even having Klay, number two of the Splash Brothers, man, it's crazy, man. Like, the way that these guys have been sharing the basketball, the way that, you know, shouts out to Steph Curry for being the leader and getting these guys just mentally ready, and everybody is feeding off of the energy from Steph Curry. You know, and I think that even when Steph has, you know, which we have not seen very many of them at all this year, any slow games at all, but let's just say he has like a slow shooting start, they're able to pick up that slack with no problem. Like, they're able to continue to keep the ship sailing, man, and just destroy people. Like, they're putting fear in other teams' hearts, like when you step on the floor with these guys. So, man, I'm just looking at this thing and I'm saying, you know, Klay, report came out that he's trying to come back by Christmas. He should be able to return by Christmas. He's already been doing 5-on-5 drills and being a full participant in practice. And now he's looking and eyeing a return around Christmas time, man. And if he can come back even 75% of what he was, like, that would be more than enough. 75-80% from Klay. Like, I mean, I obviously don't think, you know, it's going to take time for him to get back in the swing of things, but if he can even just 75% would be enough. Like, this team is that good. They are that serious. They're for real. So, you know, like I said, man, I got the Warriors as the best team in the NBA right now. Now, the team not to sleep on. Let's talk about my Chicago Bulls, y'all. The Chicago Bulls, 12-6 right now, tied for fourth best record in the NBA, tied for second in the East. Fifth in field goal percentage at 46.8, fourth in point differential at plus 5.8, and fourth in defense. DeMar DeRozan's third in the NBA in scoring, averaging 26.9 per game. The Bulls, they're playing great team basketball, man. They can shoot the ball really well. You're talking about, let's look at the, you know, what they did in the offseason, being able to go get Nikola Vujovic, being able to go get Lonzo Ball, DeMar DeRozan, Alex Caruso. You know, they drafted Ayo Dosunmu out of Illinois. You know, they put together a team that really and truly competes and that the city can really get behind, man, especially with what the Bears are not doing right now, which is winning football games. But we don't even have to discuss that. The city believes in this team, man, and I just watching them, and I've watched every game. I've watched literally just, it's probably been maybe one, maybe two games that I didn't actually get to watch. And just to see the growth of this team and how they're continuing to get better and better and better. And, you know, DeRozan and LaVine being those two lead guys and everybody feeding off of those guys' energy. And this team has really brought life and energy to United Center, man. And the great thing about it is, you know, when LaVine is having an off night, DeRozan's been able to step in there and be that Robin, you know, and pick up the slack. If DeRozan's having an off night, LaVine, man, he's Batman. He's picking up the slack. And they work and they complement one another so well on the basketball court. And let's look at the notable wins from the Bulls right now. So far, you know, they have wins against the Jazz, Celtics, Clippers. They stopped their seven-game win streak. The Nets, the Mavericks, the Knicks, and the Nuggets. You know, they smacked the Lakers in DeRozan. Look, DeRozan, 38 points and 6 assists. You know, this was Alex Caruso's return to Staples Center. And they were able to just blow the Lakers off the court. I mean, Lonzo Ball had 27 and 8. LaVine had 26 and 5. Lonzo Ball was 7 and 10 from 3. Between Ball, LaVine, and DeRozan, 91 points and 18 assists. Were like 91 points and 18 assists between all three of those guys. Like that's amazing, man. And the Bulls beat the Lakers so bad that after that, they're now renaming Staples Center like Crypto Arena or something, Cryptocurrency Arena, something like that. They changed the name of Staples Center because it's just getting that bad in LA right now. I mean, I'm proud of this Bulls team. I'm excited about them. I told everybody, you know what? Looking at the roster that we have, man, we can compete for real. We can definitely be at the top in the East, like one of the teams to look forward to. And you know, people were sleeping at first, but now I feel like people's eyes are open. You know, people are starting to wake up a lot more the more that you're able to see this team play games. And I think that, you know, obviously they don't have as much size, you know, in the paint. You know, they don't have like a guy like Giannis. Well, who really has a Giannis? You know, a guy like Giannis or Jokic, like that. But I think that they complement one another well. And I think that they can still, with the ability to be able to shoot the ball the way that they can, they really offset the fact that they don't have that huge, huge big guy. So, I mean, and there's room to even add a piece like that, you know, later on down the line. You can add a guy like that. I don't know, a Carl Anthony Towns or a big, you know, one of those true big body centers. So, again, this is a great start for the Bulls. And I only think that this team is going to continue to get better. Now, let's talk about the Los Angeles Lakers, man. So, are the Lakers, the question, you know, was, you know, are the Lakers going to be as good as people thought they were? You know, what are we getting from the Lakers right now? And I don't think the Lakers are as good as people thought they were going to be. You know, I don't. You know, they are not as good as a team as everyone thought. You know, they put together this roster. You know, they go out. You know, you get Rondo. You go out. You get they go get Dwight. They go get Carmelo Anthony. You get Malik Monk. You know, you get Russell Westbrook. You know, all these guys, right? And, you know, obviously it looks great on paper. It looks great on paper. But looking at it, you know, I'm always one of those type of people that look at it and I say, you know what? These guys, they got to play together first. It can look great on paper all day, but you got to build that chemistry. You know, what is it going to look like? And right now, I think that, you know, people were so caught up in the names and not realizing, look, let's look at the age of this team. You know, this team, they are older, you know, and that's not to say they can't play basketball anymore, but they don't really have that huge of a shooting threat. I mean, Anthony Davis can shoot the ball, but Anthony Davis has his games where he has a really good game, and then he has his games where he goes ghost and he doesn't do anything. You know, LeBron's out, obviously. So there's nobody out there that's really a threat from the perimeter. Right now, they're currently sitting 9-10 and they're ninth in the West. You know, Frank Vogel's, his rotations, they just don't make sense. They're very questionable. He doesn't know what he's doing out there. The Lakers, they've fallen apart in the third quarter in just about every game this year. They have a lack of production in the third quarter. I don't, whatever it is, You know, Anthony Davis came out and said, you know, in the third quarter, they come out flat. They don't, the energy's gone, you know, whatever it may be. Now, they did just have they did just win against Detroit, but I mean, they went toe-to-toe against Detroit, you know, a team who's doesn't have nowhere near as much talent as they have on their roster. You know, LeBron returned from his first time. Oh, before that, you know, they're also bad defensively. You know, they give up 112 points per game, which is actually 27th in the NBA. LeBron did return for the first time in two and a half weeks against the Celtics last Friday. They went 10-6. Oh, he went 10 of 16 from the field for 23 points and 6 rebounds. But the Lakers were out rebounded by the Celtics 51-33, outscored 33-21 in the third, and they gave up 130 points, which is the most they've given up and allowed the entire season. You know, obviously you still have a lot of season left, but you know, the Lakers, they don't have any room for error, man. I mean, if you want to seriously compete, there's no room for error. Point blank, period. I mean, people can look at it and say, you know, it's a long, it is a long season, but at what point are you going to build the, you know, the consistency? You don't want to be trying to play from behind and everything. Now teams can get hot, but and then we also saw the incident with Isaiah Stewart and LeBron James. LeBron was suspended for, you know, he was suspended for a game. That's over with now, so he'll be back. But, you know, that situation right there, they definitely can't afford to have LeBron out. Because, you know, when LeBron out, this team is just, they just don't exist. I mean, even when LeBron's on the court, it's not, I mean, he can't do, it's only so much he can do. So the Lakers are not like everybody thought they would be. And it's funny to me because when they were putting together this roster, everybody, let's book the Lakers into the finals. And it's like, hold on now. And they did the same thing with the Nets. It's like, wait a minute. Can we see them play first? It's not like, you know, it's not a shoe-in and it's not a guarantee that they're just going to run through the West. Like, I told people that. It's not a guarantee. So, and even with LeBron being injured, you know, it's just they have enough talent, even when LeBron was out, to win the games that they lost. They have more than enough talent to be able to win those games. So I don't want to hear any excuses about, you know, LeBron being injured. Yes, he was injured, but you're dropping games to teams that you could easily beat. Well, or apparently not, you know. So again, a lot of season left. We'll see what happens. But right now, Frank Vogel is, you know, he's going to be on the hot seat. You know, if they can't find a way to build some consistency and turn this thing around. So we'll see what happens. But Lakers aren't as good as y'all thought they would be right now at this point in time, y'all. And that's just the reality. So last but not least, man, let's talk NFL, man. Let's talk about Cam Newton. So Cam Newton has officially made his first start in his return with the Carolina Panthers, man. So he actually signed a one-year, $10 million contract to return to the Panthers. In their first game, he went 3 of 4 for one touchdown. He had 3 carries, 14 yards, and a touchdown versus the Cardinals. So obviously, he was playing behind P.J. Walker. He wasn't starting that game. Cam actually got the nod from head coach Matt Rhule to make his first start against Washington after he had a full week of practice with the starters and he was ready to go. Head coach Matt Rhule, after that practice, that full week of practice, he said about Cam, he's really done a nice job learning the game plan for this week. He's worked really hard. He's really a smart player, really a smart quarterback. And I think that, you know, the Panthers, they were the perfect fit for Cam. I think they'll let Cam be himself. They'll let Cam be Cam. And I think that he's, just to see him back in the building, he's excited about it because in his heart, he knows that Carolina was the place for him. You know, it didn't end well before, but I think that the reunion was right on time. And I think that they're going to get that fan base back riled up. Everybody's excited. And to have Cam back in the stadium and the energy that he's able to bring on the sidelines, even when he's on the field, it's like the time is right. It was perfect timing, you know, to be honest with you. And, you know, Cam, he's joining the offensive coordinator, Joe Brady. And we all know Joe Brady. He had a huge success in 2019 with the legendary season from for LSU. Excuse me. The Panthers now currently they're 5-6 and third in the NFC South. So they actually ended up dropping that game in that they played against Washington. But Cam in that game, he went 21 of 27 for 189 yards, two passing touchdowns and one rushing touchdown. He also had 10 carries for 46 yards. So he's 32 years old. I think he's still a lot of football left to be played from him. And I think, you know, obviously he signed a 1-year deal, but they'll restructure that and he'll get a, I think at the end of this in the offseason, they'll probably give him what three to 4-year deal or whatever. Just to make sure, you know, he stays in Carolina because I don't think they want to let Cam go at all. So I think that we'll see Cam there and we'll see him, you know, retire as a Panther. But, you know, again, man, I'm happy to see Cam happy and in a place where he knows that he can play freely and that he can, you know, express himself and be who he is. Obviously, in New England, they allowed him to be himself a little bit, but it was more about buying into the Patriot way. And I just, you know, that's just not the perfect fit for him. He had some good moments that where he showed that he could still, you know, do his thing. But I think that ultimately the best place for him is where he is right now in Carolina. And you know, there's still a lot of season left. Where they're able to compete for potentially, you know, maybe a wild card spot. I mean, they're right in the thick of the teams that are in the hunt. There's a lot of 5-5 teams. I mean, there's a lot of 5-6 teams, you know, 5-7 here and there where they can, you know, they can potentially have an opportunity to move up and get into that true playoff hunt in the wild card spot. So we'll see what happens, man, for the rest of the year. But that was all I had for y'all, man. Again, I appreciate everybody. For giving me some time, man, to talk some good, healthy sports talk with y'all as always, man. Be patient with me, man. I had to take a break. Everybody needs a mental break, y'all. And look, whatever you're doing, make sure you take a mental break too. Don't stress yourself out. Don't burn yourself out. Everybody needs some time and a break, man. But hey, man, peace and love. I love y'all. I appreciate the support. Keep rocking with me. Be back next week, man, to give y'all some good, healthy sports talk yet again. Peace, blessings, roll tide. I'm out.